Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to this edition of Hard Worka on the PTJG Broadcast Network. This show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to some of the nation's most innovative companies, and he explores some of the career journeys behind some of the country's most influential individuals. And this is all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter that is unique to Pete the Job Guy Langlois. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers.
You know what? I'm so proud of you because you did it. You made a great decision. And that decision is listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Because this show, as you heard Josh say, as he says every week, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. And that's you, folks. That's your parents. That's your kids, your family, your friends, your neighbors. Everybody you know is intertwined in the workforce one way, shape, or form. And I give you tips and advice to how you help you to have a more successful career and help you to avoid certain pitfalls that maybe I didn't avoid. Maybe some things I stepped in it when I was a younger person, and I'm not a younger person anymore. I tell you what you can do to stay on the right path. And that's what this show is about. Another very, very important element of this show is we have guests every week. Josh and I have some great guests, and our guests are people that either run businesses, they've started businesses, they have causes that they represent, and they tell us all about them, and they tell us how we can get involved. Because right now, guys, we're Americans. Never mind the Democrat, Republican, Independent. We're Americans. You know, all it takes is one crisis, someone attacking America. And you watch how we stand shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm as Americans to defend this great country. And this is a great country, folks. Don't get caught up in what's going on and the he said, she said, and this one put that on social media. Love thy neighbor. Take care of each other, folks, and look for ways that you can make the world a little bit better. I'm telling you. God. Wow. All right. I'm going to introduce my guest in a minute, but if you're new to the show, we have a couple other interesting points in the show. One of them is that we have Coach Larry come on each week, and he does about a five-minute segment. And Coach Larry is somebody that I've known for over 25 years. And he tells the information he gives us and pointers that he gives us helps managers to become effective leaders. Whether you're an aspiring manager or a current manager and you want to be the best leader you could possibly be, you listen to this five-minute segment and you take notes. If you're old school like me, you grab a pen and a piece of paper and you jot some things down. If you're new school, you grab your device du jour and you get your thumbs cranking. And you take notes and you're going to write down what Coach Larry says, and then you're going to do something differently as a result of that information and what you hear. Because it will help you. It'll help you to be more effective, more productive, and help you to be a great leader. And I've taken the time on my website, which is very simple, PeteTheJobGuy.com, to isolate Coach Larry's segment each and every week. So if you don't want to listen to the whole show and you want to get to Coach Larry's tips, you can just go to a little segment that says Coach Larry and you can listen to it and get right to it. I know there are some folks that play that, you know, with their group of managers every week, and they play Coach Larry's segment and they implement what he says during the week. I know that because I get notes and email. Another section that I have, a part of the show, is weekly contributor Boston Danny. Boston Danny gives us a Boston update each and every week. He talks about the fair city of Boston. He brags about his sports teams. He tells us about the weather and his wonderful grandson, Desmond. But he also gives shout outs. So if you know somebody, a friend, a family member that has a birthday, an anniversary, or anybody that accomplished something special and you'd like to recognize them, just send me an email, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. You send me an email and say, hey, it's such and such's birthday. I'd want to wish him this. And I'll make sure I take that email, get it to Boston Danny, and he will give you a wicked piss a shout out like only Boston Danny can. Okay. Now, I told you about email. If you have any kind of work-related issue, you want to learn how to ask for a raise, or you have a complicated employee, or your coworker is coming in late, or, you know, whatever situation you're dealing with, and you want some career advice from an expert, somebody who has run a $120 million company with over 450 employees, okay? Someone that has seen everything. I've been through it all, folks. If you want expert advice, Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com. And I'm happy to help out in any way. And I want to tell you about one little thing. Right before I introduce my guest here, I had an email this week from a guy named Tom, and he's a Jacksonville person. And he said, Pete, I'm looking for a job. I need help. And we kind of traded a little paint back and forth talking about what he's looking for, what kind of job he wants. But then I asked him about his most recent employment, and he said, I was in a job for, man, I stayed in it way longer than I should have. I was there for a little over a year, and I got fired, and now it's crunch time. I have to get on to my next job search. I have to find it real quick. And I said, how did you get fired from a job you didn't even like? You said it was beneath you. And he goes, I just wasn't giving it my best effort. I want to tell everybody that's listening in this call, whether you're in your destination job, you're in a beginner job, you're in any job, you always give it your best effort. Okay. Hard worker. That's what the show is, because hard work can turn a crappy job into your dream job. You go out there, you outperform every day. You show up on time or early. You stay till the buzzer rings. So many people skate out 5 minutes early, long lunches, and they end up getting fired. You know, and the very person that they're working alongside might be the hiring manager at their next job or five years down the road. Why burn a bridge? Always give it your best effort, no matter what it is, because you could turn a frown upside down, a frown from a job. You could turn it around if you just work your hardest. That's what the show's about, guys. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, Tom, I don't mean to air your dirty laundry out here, but you said I could, doggone it. But the bottom line is you should never get fired, man. Nobody. Work hard. Do your best. And if it's because you can't lose a job or get a bad rating through lack of effort, folks, don't ever let that be the case. Always work your hardest. Okay. All right. I told you I got a great guest each and every week, and this week is no different. And she's been patiently waiting. And I'm going to tell you what, I've wanted to have her on the show for a little bit, and schedules get tight and it's tough holidays, all this. But I have Emily Spencer on with us. And I'll tell you a story. I was at a Christmas party, and Emily and I met a whole bunch of people, and we were chatting each other up, and she was telling me what she does. And I was so enthralled, and I listened, and I said, Emily, I would love to have you on my show, Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And she said, graciously, she accepted, and we got our schedules together, and she's here. Let me tell you a little bit about her background, and then I'm going to ask her to kind of fill in the blanks. Now, she's also from Massachusetts, okay? So, hey, there's a couple. That's one reason we talked right up front. We heard each other's accents and we started laughing. But, okay, Emily, okay, and I'm going to read this from her bio. Working to better the lives and circumstances of members of the military community has been a highlight of Emily's career. For more than a decade, she has been a committed advocate for soldiers, veterans, and their families through her network with Hartillery Group, the Fisher House in Boston, and as Family Readiness Group Leader for the U.S. Army 1173rd Battalion based out of Brockton, Mass. Woo! Well, first off, Emily, before I go reading all this, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pete. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you.
Oh, goodness. Of course it is. Are you kidding me? well, tell us about Hartillery. And then I really want to hear, you know, what inspired you to put this together?
So Hartillery actually began as a beautiful accident. I was in grad school, and I met my now husband in grad school. And he had always had this lifelong passion for joining the military. He wanted to join the Army. And when we were dating and we were talking about getting engaged and getting married, and he said, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I really want to do this. And would you, you know, could we make this work together? And I said, well, of course. And what an amazing thing to want, you know, later in life, really, I mean, in your 30s, right? But it was always an unfulfilled passion for him. So, you know, we were ready and willing to make the commitment. So we got married in September of 2012, and he left for his first deployment to Afghanistan in 6 months after that. So,
all right. So you get married 6 months later, he's gone to Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough. How was that?
It was very difficult, actually. You know, when you're single and you're living your life and life kind of revolves around you and your family and, you know, sisters, brothers, mothers, things like that. It's kind of a different feeling. But when you make a commitment to somebody, a lifelong commitment to somebody, and they are going to a destination that's unknown, doing a job that's unknown. And, you know, in all my experience of working with families, that there's a lot of times where spouses never know what their spouses even do over there.
as a veteran myself, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of people know my story, talk about it. I spent 7 years in the Navy, traveled all around the world. I was gone a lot. Navy, we make a lot of cruises. You know, we get up on these big aircraft carriers, and I was gone for one time, 10 months. We were out and gone. And you know, there's something that I think is really real. They say one of the toughest jobs in the military is to be a military spouse. You know, what's your experience? Like, tell us a little bit more about that.
So I can't, you know, obviously I can't speak for those of us that are brave enough to put that uniform on. And I can only imagine what your daily life is or was. I can imagine that certain situations are more stressful and dangerous than others. The commitment is all the same. Once you make a commitment to put that uniform on, you are all the same. And we all become family. So I will say from a spouse perspective, and just from the work that I've done with our spouses over the years, the sometimes long lack of communication is very, very difficult. What we found in our battalion was a lot of our soldiers were young married couples that didn't really have the experience, or they don't have the life experience of really living a life on their own, because they're getting married young and then they're deploying and starting families and things like that. So it creates a lot of challenges on many, many levels. You know, the not knowing where your spouse is, the not being able to talk to them all the time. You know, I'm sure you've heard it. There's a lot of financial issues. There's a lot of, you know, childcare issues and all those sorts of things that all fall on one person, here stateside. So it can be very, very difficult. And I would say that, my husband and I are some of the lucky ones. You know, we got married later in life. We have very, very strong family ties and family commitments. So him being gone, yes, was extremely difficult. But I had my family to fall back on. And I also had my life experience up to that point to sort of guide me through that missing piece. But I would say the unknown is very, very difficult to handle and walk through every day.
Yeah, it is really tough. And you see a lot of the stressors can break families, and it's tough. Yeah. And, you know, the financial strains, like you said, just not just the financial, but childcare and, you know, doing stuff around the house. And it just really stresses families out to the point where sometimes they can crack and break. Mm-hmm. But you're dedicated, and tell us about Heartillery and tell us how you're helping people. And then I want to get kind of to the point where people that want to get involved, I want to learn how they can get involved too.
So I started Heartillery Group in at the very end of 2012. My husband, we've gotten married. We moved out to Norwood, Mass. we had a new house and a new dog and a new neighborhood, new everything. And then, you know, we basically moved into our house and then he deployed. So I had a new new everything. Newly married. What do you do about that? How does that work? You know, new house. I lived in a condo. I don't know how to do that. You know, we had a new dog, never had one. So how do we do that? And you know, you start thinking about your future as a couple, and then that's delayed by 9 months to a year because of deployment. And then you start to, you know, as a spouse, you start to think about your future with this person, and it's very, it becomes unknown all of a sudden.
Right.
So it forces you to live in the present. And so it really kind of changes your outlook on life and on vision for married couples, because they have to be much more in the moment. Yeah. Especially if your soldier is active duty. So I started sending him cards, because that's what I do. I started sending him care packages, and you know, I was the one that would make my own granola bars, because I wanted them to be kind of healthy, and you know, packaging everything up individually, putting in like cute little notes and socks and all that great stuff that you hear that people really love. And I just started sending him stuff on his own. And I knew that he had access to other soldiers in the position he was in. He was at Kandahar Airfield. So sometime between like the first, you know, 20 boxes or so, I said, you know, I wonder if there's more people that might want to get some cards. I mean, I'm here, I'm by myself. And, you know, I didn't have much of a community in Norwood. I just moved there. And I said, you know, I can either sit here and say, wow, this is really hard. I'm by myself and I don't know what to do with myself. Or I can say, gee, you know, Scott's overseas. I wonder if other people would like to have something like this. And so, in November of 2012, I put out a note on my personal Facebook page requesting 1,000 cards, saying, you know, we want to spread holiday cheer and we can get them over there. And in about 7 weeks, we collected 17,000 cards.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. They were dropped off at my house. So I left my mailman a nice tip that year. but they were dropped off outside my door, in my mailbox, you know, on my side door, on top of my car. I mean, everywhere. People were just dropping by and leaving this stuff, you know, anywhere that there was room. And, you know, I got to the point where I called my mom and I said, can you come help me pack some boxes?
Yeah.
And we just had, you know, it just, not every surface was covered with that project, but my dining room was packed, my island, all my counter space in my kitchen, my living room was just covered in cards. And it was just the most wonderful and unexpected thing to ever see. I mean, I'd never expected anything like that. I'm very goal driven. So if I had to fill out 1,000 cards by myself, I was going to sit at my table and do it myself, just to meet the goal that I put out. And they came from everywhere. They came from about, I think, I want to say like 11 or 12 states. So somebody got a hold of my flyer and just started passing it and passing it and passing it. And it just became this beautiful thing.
All right. Well, this is like, that's the kind of the foundation. Mm-hmm. 2012, you talk to your husband. Hey, there's got to be other people that need this. I'm going to tell you firsthand, as a military guy that traveled and that was gone quite a bit, those care packages from home are so important. The little notes, the little funny things that you get. You know, I used to get a jar of pickles in my care package and a couple other things, and socks and underwear, all that other good stuff. But I don't care if I got just a card, anything, you know, when they had mail call, you know, we'd hear the whistle and just to get any, oh, wait a second, that music right there. All right, Emily, you're going to come back at right on the backside of this. But guys, that music's telling us right now, we've got to take a quick break. to listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, partner at Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville. Chances are we already know each other because I've been in staffing right here in Jacksonville for 20 years. I'm actually surrounded by a team of staffing professionals that come to work every day and have fun and work hard. If you aren't getting the talent that you need, let me make your life easier. It's one call, 904-479-9610. That's 904-479-9610. And remember, here at Ascendo Resources, we're bringing back the hustle.
All right. Welcome back, guys. That's a wonder. Listen, call Ascendo Resources. That's our show sponsor. It's fantastic. A bunch of different ways to get a hold. Yeah, you can reach me directly. If you ever want staffing assistance, you want it from Pete the Job Guy, 904-999-4878. I'll shoot you straight. I'll help you. I'll work with your budget. Do all the fun stuff. I've been doing it for over 20 years. I've seen it all. But I'll make sure I give you the white glove treatment because that's the only way I operate. And folks, today my guest is Emily Spencer, and she's telling us how she founded the Hartillery Group and how, you know, just by, you know, she recognized her husband was gone, she's a military spouse, and wanted to give some cards, spread a little love to other soldiers that might be lonely and away from their loved ones, or maybe they're just, lone soldiers out there and they need some love from stateside. So she puts a note out on Facebook, like, hey, you know, and I want to get 1,000 letters to give, you know, just get, and all of a sudden she gets 17,000. So that's the beginning. She saw the overwhelming outpouring that people wanted to give. They wanted to help. And wouldn't it, I hope all of society sees this, as all Americans see right now, that we, if we just spend a little bit more effort on trying to help each other, the world becomes a better place. You know, I know from a personal standpoint, I look at how I can volunteer, how I can give back. I'm a major supporter of JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Relief Foundation. I have an annual toy drive for Daniel Kids. I do more for veterans in the military and military causes because I care. I care. And you know, next week I'll be on from the C-suite to the C-suite as a guest on a TV show next Sunday morning with my good friend Nick Holland and his great folks at the Firewatch, you know, that are dedicated to preventing veteran suicide, which is a wonderful cause that they have, but it's a terrible problem. In the United States for ex-servicemen, because it's tough. But you want to find out what you can do to help some people, spread a little love, help our soldiers. You know what, Emily, tell us about, where we talked about the genesis, how it started, where are we at now, and how can people get involved?
So just to comment on what you were talking about, it is, kindness is just so important. It is so important to remember that, you know, people walk these paths that you have no idea about. You don't know the people that you come in contact every day with, and just being kind can change somebody's entire life. And it's everybody, the beautiful thing about kindness is that it comes in almost every form. So you can find something that drives you, that you love to do, that's important to you, that you can be grateful for, and that you can practice kindness, especially these days. It is so, so important that people know that we are a kind, kind country, and that we can practice these types of things and give back to the things that are important to us. So thank you for saying that. It is of paramount importance, and especially with a suicide rate like you were mentioning, in the military community, doing things like this is my way of being thankful and being grateful for the things that I have, and also for doing a job that I could never do.
Wonderful. Okay. Tell us about Hartillery. Like I want the website information.
Sure.
I want to, like, how can I, average American person that, you know, whether I have, you know, through a charitable donation or through my efforts, you know, what can I do, average American, to help get involved in Heartillery?
Well, you can go to our website. That would be wonderful. We are heartillerygroup.org. We are on all social media, facebook.com/social media, .org. You can go to Instagram. We are on Twitter, and we have a YouTube channel, so you can find us. And if you could like us, that would be wonderful to help us get bigger. We are growing. We have multiplied projects since we started. 2020 was our most successful year. In response to COVID-19, we did a very, very special project called Operation Can Do. And we were collecting cards and care package items for our first responders. We started right after the pandemic hit, and it was kind of our special project in response to this that we, it was in the vein of what we were doing. So we collected about a little over 400,000 cards for that.
Wow.
In the same time frame, I was contacted by somebody from Verizon who had collected 55,000 emergency care kits for a team building exercise that they were doing across several states. And she called me up and she said, "Hey, do you want these? COVID precautions are shutting down our warehouses." And I looked at her, I said, I was talking to her on the phone, and I said, "Yeah." I didn't know what I was going to do with them, but I didn't know where they were going to go, because I was standing in my driveway when I was talking with her. But I said, "Yes, I'll take all of them." And she said, well, "Do you need to call somebody?" I said, "No, I'll take all of them." And so, wow. So I got off the phone with her, and I coordinated with Zahara Network, who's here in Jacksonville, and they work with our female homeless veterans. And she has a very, very wide network. So we worked together, and we were able to pick up and facilitate and execute and deliver 55,000 emergency care kits across, I think it was like 7 states.
That's amazing. And- I mean, just to, you know, it's one thing to say, "Yeah, I'll take it," but it's another thing to think about the logistics and the mobilization of a force to get those to the people that need that. And that's quite an undertaking.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it was a blessing. We did it very, very quickly too. I think it was in like 2 weeks, we were able to execute all of that. And I remember my husband saying, "What did you just say yes to?" And I said, never mind. I'll talk to you about it.
Well, somebody should, that's getting the vaccines out. Somebody should contact Emily Spencer. You got some vaccines. She'll get them to the people that need them, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So those went out. And then shortly after that, we started our 8th annual Mission Holiday Cards Drive. Where we collect cards and care packages to send to our active duty military and also our veterans here at home. And this year we had a 500,000 card goal and we smashed it. Crushed it. We had participants from all 50 states, major corporations around the country. People just responded so well to this project, and it was our biggest year yet for that project. I am so, so blessed and so proud to be able to say that, you know, we rise as Americans, we rise. And I try to put that out into the universe, because it's so important to just.
Well, you know, let's listen, we rise through our efforts and what you're doing. Like it's one thing to have a big heart, because there's a lot of caring souls out there, but there's a lot of caring souls that just, you know, figure, "Well, my contribution is going to be so minimal. I can't do anything." But it takes minutes to write a card that can put a smile on somebody's face. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the means to donate from a financial standpoint, energy and effort, it takes just a little bit to make a difference, you know, and it make a huge difference in people's lives. You don't know what people are going through, the struggles they have.
Right.
And you know, it's people like you, Emily Spencer, that really, I'm telling you, that make a difference.
Well, thank you.
And Heartillery, I want to make sure it's spelled like heart, like, you know, I got a heart in my chest, HEARTILLERY group. Mm-hmm. Yep. Heartillerygroup.org. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get that out there. And on the page, there's a lot of different ways you can see, I mean, on your page, you'll be able to, here's how I can get involved too. Right. Right on there.
Yeah. So to get involved, you can volunteer, you can make cards, you can donate money. If you want, you can add us as an Amazon Smile charity. So we'll get a percentage of your Amazon orders that will help us pay for shipping costs to get all this stuff overseas. It's extremely expensive for shipping to ship, a million cards or 800,000, 900,000 cards overseas. It's very expensive. So any financial contribution there would be helpful. We make it as easy as possible for you to find your kindness. So if you travel a lot and you have a lot of travel shampoos, we'll take them. If you have kids that are homeschooled and they're driving you out of their mind, you can make cards. If you're a teacher and you need a project, we will take them. And, we try to bring all of these things together and get them to where they're needed the most. I'll share with you one last event that we did in 2020 was, again, quite by accident. We were able to facilitate matching 26 military families who were in need of Christmas presents for their children this year. We were able to partner them with sponsors to help provide these kids with Christmas this year. It was quite literally an accident. I just responded to somebody's thread on Facebook about, there's military families that could use a little help this year. And all of a sudden, I had 26 or 27 people come out of Facebook saying, I want to sponsor a family. I want to help. And that was 3 days before Christmas.
Outstanding.
So it was a beautiful thing.
You can make things happen quickly, which is
well,
great.
I have a lot of help. I have a lot of people that are behind me to help facilitate these things. It's not about being a freestanding organization and doing things on my own. It's about integrating into people's processes and into people's projects and wanting to, help them and help the people ultimately at the end that are going to be receiving these things. So I was very, very fortunate. And because of its success, we're going to call it Military Santa. And we're going to start doing it every year. So it was a really, really amazing way to end 2020. Such a blessing.
That's wonderful. All right, in wrapping up, I'm going to hit you with this question. And I ask each and every guest that sits in the hot seat like you do. And I usually mention up front, we're not in the studio anymore, guys. We're doing Zoom calls and Teams calls, just like everybody else is doing lately. So, this whole COVID protocol, can't wait till that's in the rearview mirror. But I wish I was sitting across from you. But this is going to make you think for a second, but I'd love to hear you answer. If you had like a time machine, right? You get in the time machine and you go back in time and you meet your younger self, maybe like around 19, 20 years old, and you walk right up to yourself, put your hand on your shoulder and say, Emily, let me give you this bit of advice. What advice would you give your younger self?
Wow, that's a great question.
That's why I got this job.
I would say never give up. I would say never give up on yourself. I would say be strong and stay strong always. And just never lose your spark. I would say no matter what happens or what things come up in your life and what struggles are in front of you, you never lose your spark and you keep moving, always keep moving forward and just never, my friends would say, never lose your sparkle. Uh-huh. Never lose your sparkle.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You always have to keep moving forward. Don't let anything get in your way. And you know, just never lose your sparkle, I would say.
Well, you know what? Emily Spencer, Executive Director of Hartillery Group, hartillerygroup.org is the website. I highly recommend everybody gets on there. Look and see how you can get involved, how you can be kind, how you can give back. And there's a whole host of different ways. Emily, thank you for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. This was just so wonderful. And I'm very, very grateful to you and all of your listeners for your time. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Oh, my friends, it was wonderful having Emily Spencer as my guest. What a message, you know, everything from the advice she would give her younger self to, you know, just rallying behind a cause and then feeling compelled to take action. And then she takes action in something that started as small as saying, hey, on Facebook, if you want to get involved, you know, send a letter to a soldier, I'll take it and make sure someone gets it. And, you know, the immediacy of the response, the all these, and it's just grown into something so big. I just urge everybody to go to hartillerygroup.org and see how you can get involved. And a little goes a long way. And we talked about kindness and helping each other and humanity and all this. I'm going to tell you, folks, this right here, the biggest attack that I saw on humanity is probably one of the biggest technology breakthroughs that we've had in many years. It's the smartphone and internet, all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you what I mean. Years back when cell phones first came out, you know, these big old clunky things, when they first came out, and I remember seeing people in the airport, you know, some guy in a suit kind of huddled up in a corner or walking by on a phone and talking. And I remember the thought in my head was, look at you, Mr. Important. You're so doggone wrapped up in yourself that you can't even acknowledge your surroundings. You're in a public place. You're walking by people and ignoring them. You're not even saying hi, not even acknowledging the people that are near you or around you, because you're so wrapped up in your own little world and your cell phone that you cannot just take the time to acknowledge what's happening in the world. That was the degradation of humanity right there, folks. That's where it all started. And I want you to hear me out, because the internet, the cell phones enabled us to just check out of any social situation. No matter where you're at, you're in your own little world, folks. You don't have to say hi to your neighbor. You don't have to be kind to anybody. You don't even have to talk to a person. Heck, you don't have to go out and meet people to start dating. You just jump on an app. That was the degradation of humanity. We stopped respecting each other outwardly. You know, we create these avatars. These internet people, these phone people, that, you know, I can be a little braver and a little bit more outgoing because I'm on email, or I'm not in front of you where I have to act civilly. I can create whoever I am and become that person and hide behind the phone. You know, I always laugh, all these email tough guys, email thugs. They talk all tough, and then you get across from them and you're like, oh, wow, you're not all so tough right now, are you? You're not all Mr. Big Talk. Or you see people that, you know, when they take a picture of themselves, they have to take about 30 pictures before they find the one that they're going to post. Why? Because they're creating something that's different than what the outside world sees when you're in person. The degradation of humanity started then, folks, okay? The cell phone and the internet. I don't have to say hi. I don't have to shake your hand, say, how are you doing? It's easier for me to not care, to not be involved, to disassociate, right? It was easier for me to do that than get involved. You know what's so funny? And I got to say this, okay? Because my wife probably needs to talk to me right now. And she's called me at least four times in the last 10 minutes. And she knows that this time each week I do the doggone show, but each time I got to tell her to stop calling me because it interrupts the throw, my thought process. Anyway, let me put a period at the end of the sentence that I started before that casual interruption to the fourth degree from my wife. What I'm saying, folks, is listen, get more involved in humanity. It starts with one little act of kindness. You know, say hi to each other. Walk outside, wave to your neighbor. When you walk down, you walk in the airport, look at people, just say hi. They're going to think you're the weird guy with the smile on his face, right? That's how it is. It's how it should be. Don't ignore each other. Kind of re-engage with the world. You know, it's a better place, and you can make it that way if you get involved. All right, this next part of the show is one of my favorite parts of the show. This is where we get our leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Coach Larry is Coach Larry O'Brien, and we've been friends for 25 plus years, maybe 30 years now. He sent me a picture the other day that cracked me up. We were at a 70s party that I hosted. I rented out the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. I started off with 6 kegs, but you know how fast that got drained? We had to go get another 6 and another 6. It was a big party. But I played in a band back then. Our band played, and we were But the picture, I hadn't seen it in so long. And here's Larry and I in these 70s outfits and all these people that were, you know, passersby in our lives, you know, fun people that I don't even remember all of them. But doggone, it's a picture that just, when he sent it to me the other day, it just put a smile on my face. But Larry, for many years, has been helping to coach people to be more successful, more productive, more effective, and helping them to be better leaders. Larry has designed customized training and learning and development programs, for so many years. He is the chief learning officer for Mendoza and O'Brien. And with no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
Well, it's 2021. We made it. 2020 is now officially over. I was reading a tweet from Conan O'Brien, and he said, "I don't want to be a downer, but so far this year feels exactly like last year." At first, I thought it was really funny. It is. But then it really hit a nerve because I know he's right. I heard one expert say that we wouldn't be back to normal travel until 2024. And I also heard that we won't get the vaccine in the United States until the summer. And we're the lucky ones. I was walking with my wife recently, and I was telling her that I was feeling fatigued, and this was after the holiday season. This is when I'm supposed to feel refreshed and resilient. She said, "It sounds like you missed travel," and she was right. Then she asked me, "What about travel did I miss?" From a work perspective, I like to travel, not just because I love learning about new cities, towns, and countries, but when I'm traveling, I'm away. I disconnect. I have to say no to work and to people because I'm not available. People know that I'm not reachable and I'm completely focused on what I'm doing. When I'm not traveling, I feel like I have little control of my schedule. If I can squeeze another meeting in, I will do it. If I can do 2 webinars on the same day, I will do it. And I found myself doing 3 webinars a day and squeezing in meetings as well. Now, I know that I'm very lucky. I know I have great clients, great colleagues, and I love my work. But why was I still feeling fatigued? My wife then asked me, "How can you put travel time in your calendar now?" Meaning, what can I do to get the benefits of what I had when I was traveling? Thanks to her coaching, I decided to block travel time into my calendar. Not that I will be literally traveling, but these will be times where I am simply not available. I will either be doing something for myself, my company, my education, my family, and I'm not going to feel bad about it. So what was it about simply blocking my time that helped me out so much? I read an article recently from Bruce Daisley entitled "Resilience: The Elusive Origin of Strength in a Crisis." Here he talks about 3 keys to resilience. They are control, identity, and community. If you think about each one of them as being tied to a gas tank with a gauge, I have to admit control and community were almost empty and identity was full. Let me explain a little bit more. According to Daisley, researchers have shown that nurses who work long shifts feel less burned out when they choose to work longer. He said that it's almost like the act of choosing to go on gives us more strength to do so. Even the illusion of control can help. One of the things I often do with my coaching clients is I have them determine what is within their control, what can they influence, and what is out of their control. And then focus on the first two. So again, the first key to resilience is to identify those things you can control. Even if they are small things, you can control what you eat. You can control what time you wake up, whether you make your bed or not, whether you exercise, and yes, even your calendar. Daisley also talked about identity. Having a strong identity can increase your resilience. According to Daisley, the important thing about identity is that we often look around and ask questions about ourselves in the reflections of the people we see. As some of the leading researchers in this field have asserted, a substantial part of our sense of self and who we think we are derives from our group memberships and our sense of social identity. For me, identity was very strong this year. I worked with amazing colleagues and clients who wanted to make a difference when it came to diversity, equity, and inclusion in their organizations. We challenged each other, it was emotional, and we all grew. So again, when we feel connected and proud of our identity, it makes us feel stronger, more resilient. The final ingredient in resilience is community. For me, this has been lacking as a result of COVID. It's easy to feel isolated and not connected. A lack of connection has been cited in various studies as to leading to mental health issues. As I mentioned earlier, my connection tank was emptied in 2020. I used to travel and connect with colleagues face-to-face, have dinner, I'd meet locally, have dinner, would meet with other coaches and business leaders. And for me, when I think about community, it's about supporting others in the community and feeling supported yourself. And that was missing for me in 2020. I plan to join a community that I identify with and focus on things other than work. And as a result, it will actually make me a more effective worker. I wish you the best of luck in 2021. To be more resilient, focus on control, identity, and community. I guarantee if you do one thing in each of these areas, your resilience gas tank will start to fill again. Reach out to me if you want to talk about having a more resilient 2021. You can reach me via my website, www.mendozaandobrien.com. Thanks.
Oh, folks, another gem there from Coach Larry. And I think that's the greatest advice to start off 2021 right there. If you want to get a hold of Coach Larry O'Brien, it's real easy. It's Larry O'Brien. You can go to, LinkedIn, and you'll see his whole profile there, Larry O'Brien. Or you can go to MendozaandOBrien.com and engage him that way. He delivers his programs in both English and Spanish, and I highly recommend that you reach out and engage Coach Larry. You'll be the better for it. All right, guys, the next part of my show is the fun part. This is puts a smile on your face, makes me laugh every week. This is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. If you have a friend, a family member, or just somebody you know that accomplished something special and you would like to acknowledge them for it, send me a note, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. What I do is I take that message and put it in Boston Danny's hot little hands, and then Boston Danny will give you a wicked pissa shout out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here, giving you your northern update. Well, happy new year, and everybody's looking forward to 2021, that's for sure. I know Pete is going to have a great lineup for us, and he's going to give us plenty of great guests. And Coach Larry, of course, he's going to be able to give us our great advice that we need, get us thinking about things and how we can improve ourselves and, you know, just get us thinking about ourselves. So we're really looking forward to this year, everybody. I hope you enjoy it. It's been a tough last year. Everybody knows it. And, you know, this 2021 is going to just has to be better. Everybody's still in the grip of the pandemic up here in Boston. But, you know, we have it a little bit better than the rest of the country. So things are looking up. There's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel, and things are going to get better. But I know Peter's hard worker show is going to move right along and, of course, give everybody a bright spot every Sunday morning. So it's good to be back, folks. Good to hear from you. Up here in Boston, you know, we're still, you know, we're in the middle of the winter. We got it's cold out. It's, you know, we've been doing pretty good, but the weather's coming. Everything's been chilly. We're looking forward to the spring. Like I said, we're doing a little bit better with the pandemic up here, but we still got our restrictions in place. And everybody just, you know, if we're just wearing our masks and, you know, being socially conscious and doing our things, we'll all get through it. And that's all I got to say about that. But the new year, you know, my sports teams, we got a little rebuilding to doing. It's exciting, though. It's a clean slate. You know, new statistics. We get everything going. And that's across the board for us. The Celtics are doing all right. We're doing our thing. It's good to be watching them. Be nice to get to go to some games soon enough, but you know we're hoping and getting ready for it. We'll be back in the stadium cheering our boys on. The Red Sox, they get some rebuilding, and everybody else. The Bruins, they made some moves, but it's still a live season for all of us. We do all the things and get it running, and you know the Patriots. Well, we got some sorting out to do there, but we're on our way. It's just good to see Tom Brady get into the playoffs and prove to everybody what a great quarterback that he is, no matter what he does. So he's got a good bunch of guys around him. Hopefully they'll go far. But everybody cheer on our Tom Brady. He's still one of our favorites, and he's still the GOAT. And, you know, this year we got all our shout-outs, so get them into me. I love to give you the birthdays. So I got some for this year. You know, I want to wish a wicked happy birthday to Kara Tilly Waite, Abby Cobb, Donna Ehrenberg, and Scott Houlihan. Everybody, enjoy your day. You know what I say, do it for yourself if nobody else. It's your day. It's a wicked pisser birthday. It's a happy new year, and we're getting everything to go, getting going. All right? I'll talk to you next week. Peter, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, let's not forget our frontline workers, our caregivers, and, you know, all our everybody that's taking care of us this year. We're going to have a great year. Let's remember everybody and keep them in our minds, okay? All right. Bye, Jacksonville.
All right, folks, today my guest was Emily Spencer, and she's the executive director for Heartillery Group. Heartillerygroup.org is their website. Go out to the website, get involved, put a smile on somebody's face, take care of our soldiers, our veterans, and she supports a host of other causes, and you'll learn about it more when you go to the website. We got our update from Coach Larry. We got our Boston update from Boston Danny, and you did it, folks, and I hope you have a super week, and we'll be back again real soon. Wait till you see who my next guest is. Holy cow. I'm just pleased as punch to announce who my next guest is, because you're gonna be following this guy throughout 2021, at least for the next 6 months. I promise you that. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.